Wake up, wake up. Today should be an easy day to wake up. It is Friday. Niners go in Seattle tomorrow. Damon and I go right now.
I mean, we'd say they don't get any bigger than this, but you win this, it officially gets even bigger, and that's the beauty of playoff football. Welcome to Wake Up, everyone. It's great to have you here. I honestly didn't think we would be doing wake-ups this late in the season, Larry. I already feel like we're playing with some house money here because the 49ers are standing in a game they probably shouldn't even be in. I know that the odds are against them. Overcoming insurmountable odds is now the defining feature of this football season for the 49ers. So, you know, throw caution to the wind. Why the hell not? Why the hell not in Seattle? And to talk about how it might happen today, that's why you and I are here. Welcome, everyone. Hit like and subscribe. Larry, I am so excited that you're going up to Seattle for this one. I know your sponsors are sending you up there. What time you landed in Seattle today?
Well, boots on the ground around 3 o'clock, and then we're going over to the KJR remote. We've been invited over there for the KJR remote downtown in downtown Seattle. So I'll be hanging out there. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I got invited to this thing by Dave Softy Mueller. And then Softy's like, yeah, you know, you're going to love this place, this and that. And then I'm like, well, then I tweet out to a bunch of people, hey, by the way, we're going here, check it out. And then Dave comes back to me and he's like, you know, it's really, you know, won't be tons of our fans there because it's, you know, they have more people down there on a game day than on a. So anyway, I'll be at the Hall on Occidental. It's a restaurant in downtown Seattle. It's a restaurant bar. Stop by and say hello. I'll be KGR's doing their afternoon drive broadcast there. I'll be with them for at least a segment or so, and Dave has promised me free food and drink. So there you go. That's all it took to get me there.
It really does sound like there's a little anxiety up in Seattle about keeping 49ers fans out of this game. You would think that this has been one of those tickets that isn't going to just hit the secondary market, but I've seen all sorts of like, make sure you're not selling your ticket to a night. What Seahawk fan is selling their ticket to anyone at this point?
How small time is that, Damon?
Yeah, I'm really surprised because if there's one thing that we've learned over the last few years is Seattle's got a significant home crowd. I was really surprised to hear that this is something that has become like a little bit of a baked in storyline up there. And I don't know if that's led to an awful lot of, we hate the Niners. We hate the, I've heard like four or five Seahawks come out this week saying, we hate the 49ers. You know, you see Fred Warner from earlier in this year whipping the team up right before kickoff saying, we hate these guys. We like, that's appropriate time to say we hate these guys. Like, not in press conferences, sit-down interview situations, but there is – Seattle feels like it's gripping a little bit on this game, and I think that that is – you know, Seattle playing tight has got to be a huge part in the 49ers finding a path to victory in this one. Seattle mistakes, Seattle just not being, you know, on their money. We talk about rust all the time. I think that's got to come into play for the 49ers to walk out of there a winner.
I think it's a hell of a point. When you think about it, what do these teams really have in common outside of being from the same division? They carry a tremendous amount of momentum into this game, you would think. Seattle just beat the Niners and they're rolling. The 49ers just went to Philadelphia and knocked off the world champs in their backyard and did it, I don't know, in somewhat impressive fashion when you consider everything that was involved in that game. So I don't know. I think this is who's got real momentum, who's got real confidence. You know, Sam Darnold in Niners Nation's got a great story up this morning, written by Andrew Pasquini, who says, you know, three numbers to know. You know, when you think about it, Sam Darnold has not done anything against the Niners this year. He's thrown zero touchdowns in the first two games. He only had five games all year when he didn't throw a touchdown pass. So the Niners were responsible for 40% of his non-touchdown passing games. And then he showed up yesterday, Damon, on the injury report with an oblique injury. They say it's nothing, but I looked at Drew Lock's numbers for the year. he barely got in. I mean, he got into four or five games in mop-up, but he just handed the ball off. So he's only thrown six passes all year. If Darnold is out or in any way diminished, you know, that could sway the game. That's already the factor that I like the Niners. I like the Niners because of Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is better than Sam Darnold, and I think if they played 10 times, he would probably beat him 8, you know? But the bigger question, and it's kind of a more of an overarching, you know, what's your preferences? Would you rather have, like, to me, there's two games this weekend where it's like there's a fork in the road, and what side are you on? The Texans and the Patriots, the Seahawks and the Niners. The Texans and the Seahawks have awesome D, tons of speed, and generally that wins. But the Patriots and the Niners have what I think are great young quarterbacks. And who would you rather have, a great young quarterback or that defense packed with tons of speed? It's hard to say, right?
Well, historically, we know what the correct answer is, right? What's the cliche? It's never been great quarterbacks win championships, never for a day. I agree with you, though. The 49ers will have the best quarterback in this game, but I don't think they've got the most important quarterback in this game. I think Brock Purdy's just going to go and be Brock Purdy. That's pretty much the number one trait of him. He's the same guy every week almost. He just comes and he gets you. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He doesn't feel the pressure. He doesn't put pressure on his own team by, you know, the way Aaron Rodgers would shoot angry darts around his huddle. Like, Brock is just this steady drumbeat of very, very good. I think Darnold, for the Niners to win this game, Darnold's got to screw up this game a little bit. I really do, because that defense is very, very good. You know, we're going to talk about some must-improves, some things that we think the 49ers have to do in this game. I think what has to happen in this game is Sam Darnold makes the mistake. The mistake that nearly, in a game where San Francisco was thoroughly, like, stuck in the mud and beaten badly in Week 18, they almost opened the door for the 49ers with a Sam Darnold fumble that unfortunately was recovered by the Seahawks. That's got to be a 49er recovery in this game. Darnold's going to have to turn the ball over. He is loose with it, and I just think that that has to happen. More than me saying, like, the 49ers need to steal a possession on special teams. No, they need to steal a possession with a Seahawk turnover, period, I think, to win this game.
You know, I'm not sure anymore because, you know, the Niners just went to Philly, were -2 in turnovers and found a way to win. But, you know, Sam Darnold has to be out of rhythm. I mean, in the last game, what was his completion percentage in that game? It had to be incredibly high. Wasn't he like 20 of 25 or something like that in the last game? He was really on. And, you know, the last game was very conservative. They didn't drop back to pass. They didn't pass the ball down the field. They passed the ball short and they ran it a ton. And that's all they needed to do. And that 13-3, don't let that fool you. It was more like 30-3.
Yeah,
he was 20 of 26.
Darnold was 20 of 26, 189, an average over 7.5. Didn't throw a touchdown or an interception. He was sacked twice, which is, you know, a big number for the Niners defense. They get two sacks on a quarterback. They've had themselves a hell of a day. They're going to need to do that again. I think as I just start looking at here, like, what must improve? What has to change from Week 18? Not that there's a lot of carryover. Again, Week 18 is a distant memory. It does not matter anymore. But just going back and looking at that, what things that can't be repeated, the 49ers can't go up there with a scared money, don't make none game plan. And I did think that they had that. And I know you and I got into a little bit, well, this is what happens. You got to throw under the sticks when you don't have wide receivers getting open. Well, these are the same dudes they've had all year. And they have been getting open all year. And they're going to have to get open in this game better than they did. You got to play in front of the sticks. You got to throw past them on third down. That, to me, is a must. Kenneth Walker III and Charbonnet, pick one. Shut one of those guys down. They both cannot have a we're above 6 yards per carry type of afternoon. That's just too much fresh legs coming at you over four quarters. And I really think, Larry, the number one factor in that is Eric Kendricks. I think Eric Kendricks changes the math and the calculus on this an awful lot for the 49ers defense. He was so good in Seattle, in Philadelphia, and he needs to be that good in Seattle again.
You know, the the one thing I think if you're a 49er fan, I know, I don't know if this is true or not, but it feels like there's been a long time between the last time the Niners played the Seahawks and today.
Right.
Even though it was the Seahawks' last game and it was just 2 weeks ago. Why does it feel that way? It feels that way because now you've got Marquise Siegel in for Jair Brown. Marquise Siegel played really well last week, like really well.
Absolutely.
7 tackles, 6 solo. He's moving well. He covers better. And then you got Wallow and Kendricks who looked fresh. I'm starting to think that the Niners' missed tackles were a lot about the injuries to Winters and Bethune and how they were out there at less than 100% and falling off tackles. And look at how much better the 49ers were, how much more crisp they were in tackling Saquon Barkley than they were the week before against Charbonnet and K-9. So, yeah, I agree with you. You can't let those guys go off. I'll say it even beyond that. I don't care which guy it is or if they both do a little. If Seattle has a lot of success running the ball in this game, the Niners are going home. You know, this is Sam Darnold with his, drop back game where he can find JSN on these 20-yard cut patterns and just laser it in there. That gives them an advantage that, you know, that they can't couple with a strong run game or it's too much. It's just too much. The Niners, here's why. Because Seattle's already got great defensive scheme and personnel, and they're not injured. They're healthy. They have their Bosa. They have their Warner. You can't let them have a full tank of gas on every series because they're too good. They're too good. And they're going to have a full tank of gas if they run the ball in this game the way they ran the ball in week 18. So you don't have to win the time of possession, but you absolutely cannot get destroyed on the time of possession. If you get destroyed in the time of possession, every single time you take the ball offensively, you're going to look at what looks like the 85 Bears because they're rested and ready and, you know, just chomping at the bit. So, yes, Christian McCaffrey going to be key. The thing I think they got to do differently than last time, in week one when the Niners went there, they converted 50% of their third downs, 7 of 14. In week 18 in the game here in Santa Clara, the Niners converted 22% on third down, 2 of 9. They have to convert on third down. That's key number one. Key number two is kind of adjacent to that. Week one, Purdy went 4 for 5 for 120 yards on throws with 20-plus yards in the air.
Yes.
In week 18, he did not attempt a pass like that. This is directly tied to Ricky Pearsall. And I will say this, a little addendum. Now, I don't know if Kyle's this kind of sneaky. I asked him about Jacob Cowing a couple weeks ago. Is Cowing going to play? Is he going to be activated? I don't think so. I doubt it. It's unlikely. Yesterday, he threw him on the list as a game-time decision. And I just don't know how they're going to utilize this guy. But I'm telling you, Damon, we don't get to see practice. And a lot of the media here feel that there's not a lot of secrets or anything, that it's just like they are what they are. And that's probably true. But here we get to game. The Niners have absolutely nothing to lose. Everybody's picking against them. Nobody's expecting them to win. We don't know, Damon, what Jacob Cowing has looked like in this 3-week window. But if you go watch his college film, both at Arizona and at UTEP, what you see is a really fast guy who can make plays down the field. He's not a rookie. He's a little bit stronger. We don't know what he looks like. If he's activated for this game, I would not put it past Shanahan, because how do you beat a team that puts two deep safeties and says, we're going to dare you to run it against light boxes? There's two ways to beat it. You can run them out of it, or you can get some speed on a seam and hit one. And now that changes their dynamic. And the Niners, between their receivers, don't have that guy, except for Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. And I'll be interested to see, do they try some, 11th hour, we've been working on this on the side, because they will have the element of surprise in their favor. If they throw Jacob Cowing out there, Seattle's not going to think anything. Why? Because he hasn't done anything. But if they've seen him do stuff in practice, You never know.
Larry.
And if he can't get out there in some kind of a sneak attack surprise, Ricky Pearsall doesn't just have to play. Ricky Pearsall needs to play the way he played in week one. Because if he does, Damon, that gives them an element to the deep quadrants that will keep Seattle's fast defense a little bit more stretched out and give McCaffrey room to operate underneath. I think it's actually kind of more of a key factor that we really put into it.
I think that DeMarcus Robinson having another big playoff game is more likely than anything you just said. Instinctually, everything I know about football and Shanahan and his habits makes me want to jump through this screen and wring your neck for even giving any hope about Jacob Cowing. But in this case, Larry, I think you're right. I do. I think you might be right about this. The wish
very sneaky. It would be a very sneaky move.
Very sneaky. I don't, you know, here's the thing. Shanahan, you know, I just, on my list of things that has to happen, one of the things I got here is Shanahan has to go and bust out that bottle of the Shanahan Cellar Reserve, the Estate Cabernet, the things that he only pulls out for special occasions. Like the play we saw in Philly where Juwan made an incredible throw to McCaffrey, who made an incredible catch. By the way, I think I saw Adam Silver, Mike Schefter. No. Greg Silver on KNBR retweeted that somebody in the KNBR chat nicknamed that the Philly cheese. It was the Philly cheese mistake or something like that. and every great play needs a nickname. I think that Shanahan needs to have another. We've been sitting on this bottle for years. We've been waiting for the right occasion to open it. And I think he needs to have that play, and maybe Jacob Cowing is involved in that play this week if he is out there. Maybe, just maybe. And that one, that I'm going to use that. You didn't see him all year, but you might see him now. I'm going to kind of bounce off that onto a point that I've been making and been wrong about for several weeks now. But I think this is the week where I need to be right about it, and it will help the Niners in this game. The 49ers need to have Brian Robinson Jr. touch this football this week. He can't be the guy who doesn't get into the game. I think he has to take some hard carries up the middle against this defense. I think he's got to be involved, Larry. McCaffrey then is either off the field resting or he's in the slot where you just now that has to have the entire attention of the defense, looking at him at all times. Maybe Cowing, maybe Brian Robinson Jr., needs to make a play in this game. I mean, whatever the bag is, it's time to turn it over, empty it out, and shake it. I mean, that's the portion of the year that the 49ers are in. So normally I would tell you, you are high, you are crazy Kruger, you have been watching way too much practice, maybe standing there and that electrical grid's rewired your brain, but I think you're right. I do. I think you are right about this.
Who wins in the playoffs? Quarterbacks and head coaches. Mike McDonald's making his first playoff start. Sam Darnold, all the pressures on Seattle, and Sam Darnold showed up on the injury report with an oblique. And look at this from FanDuel. Brock Purdy, 4-0 in Seattle. Kyle Shanahan, 4-0 in the division round. I'm taking the Niners to move on to this game, man. There, it's going to have to be Kyle Shanahan's greatest moment. Why? Because this defense is too fast. Damon already said it. I mean, there's three levels of this thing. They got a great D-line. They got speed at linebacker that's almost unmatched. They have talent in the secondary that's incredible. I asked Shanahan, what really separates their defense from other defenses? And he's like, well, it's year two of the scheme. They all know it. They have great personnel, but he said they also have personnel that's perfectly designed for this defense. And I think he's talking about guys like Drake Thomas, Nicky Madwari, Julian Love, Leonard Williams. You know, they've got four or five guys that are just perfect. And, you know, small pros, Witherspoon and Leonard Williams are all pros. So, I mean, they've got a ton of talent. I think Shanahan's going to have to create the space somehow. And that's why the Jacob Cowing thing is interesting. He is a space-creating player. But if Cowing can't create the space, Shanahan's play design is going to have to create the space. Yeah. And I think he's up to it. I think he's up to it. Now, you know, how good of a coach is Kyle Shanahan? How well can he scheme somebody open? You know, we've heard about it for years. Oh, he can scheme guys open. Well, he's going to have to in this game because the Seahawk defense is faster than the Niner weapons across the board. And in Week 18, every single time Brock Purdy threw the ball to a Niner weapon, there was a Seattle defender already two steps in motion bearing down on them. So absolutely going to have to be a big Shanahan game. It's got to be a big game for the Niners offensive line.
And
Seattle leans on that front four because they're huge and talented. Can the Niners front five handle, you know, Seattle's front four? Seattle gets away with they put a lot of light boxes, six guys in the box, and they devote, you know, the rest of the guys to coverage, and the windows are tight. So it's going to be really interesting to see, A, if Brock Purdy can be really on his game and accurate and dime it up all day, or if Shanahan can create space somehow through design.
Both things need to be happening all afternoon. To go back to the offensive line, there is no doubt. They just played better in Philadelphia than I expected. You know, it wasn't as if they were atrocious in the Week 18 loss. There were a lot of reasons that Week 18 loss was embarrassing. I don't know if it was necessarily on the offensive line. They didn't open up running lanes, obviously, but
Trent had the ball. They just didn't possess the ball long enough. The Niners were not good enough on third down, period.
Yeah, they got nearly 2-1. They got nearly 2-1 in time of possession. Seattle ran 67 plays. The 49ers offense only ran 42 plays. They were hardly out there. Trent Williams, I think, is a big factor here. I mean, this is pretty obvious stuff here. When you have a future first ballot Hall of Fame left tackle, him playing matters. It really does. And I think not only is he, you know, he's got to be a plow out there that opens up holes. Just, dude, I mean, when you go to war with your boys, you want the baddest of your boys to be out there with you. The confidence boost that I think Trent Williams just has rippling across that offensive line is one of the reasons why they won in Philadelphia. He matters. There's not a lot of guys who truly matter on a football field, in a locker room, to everybody's psyche. If you're going to war, you want to go to war with Trent Williams. And so him being out there matters again. And then you can just get into the straight up staggering numbers that Seattle's got five players with 40 plus pressures. That's the most in the NFL. They're fourth in the NFL in QB pressure rate while blitzing at one of the lowest rates. When they do blitz, they get even better. And Brock is going to have to just be on the money in those blitz moments. He is going to have to attack the vacated space in those moments. This is where an underneath kind of crossing route to, you know, McCaffrey coming out of the backfield to Juwan Jennings only running like a 4-yard route. That's the play that's got to pop and pop big for the Niners in this one. Getting off the field on third down is obviously, you know, mandatory for this team. And they're going to have to pick and choose their moments. It's a bend, don't break defense. Nothing about that is going to really change this week. I think Kyle's got to move the pocket more than he has here, Larry. I think he's going to have to put Brock on the move to buy a little time and buy a little time for receivers to come open again, like you said, against a Seattle defense that has got fast everywhere.
I mean, it's a kitchen sink game. Adam Copeland tweeted this out from KBR. So since becoming head coach, the 49ers have played seven games in which they faced a team they played within the last month. Kyle Shanahan's 5-2 in those seven games. He's 3-0 when facing a team a second time within 3 weeks. So the Niners, you know, I've heard people say, oh, the Niners didn't have a great game plan. Kyle was, you know, and I'm like, come on. They were not tanking, okay? They were not tanking in Week 18. They absolutely were not. They got overwhelmed by Seattle's speed and talent on defense and scheme. They were not tanking in the slightest, and they will not be tanking in this game. But I do expect the 49ers to fire a better effort in this game. But it's going to be a lot of it's going to be about Purdy. A lot of it's going to be about Shanahan. I think Pierce Saul is going to be absolutely integral. He says he thinks he's going to get out there. Yetir Gross-Matos is a guy to watch. They need him up front. Is he going to play? He was limited this week in practice. Jair Brown's not going to start. It's going to be Marquise Siegel at safety. But, Damon, I'll tell you, the real reason I feel great about the 49ers here, and I know this is, you know, everybody's got their own thoughts on these games, but look at these numbers on Brock Purdy, you know, this year. First of all, he's 8-2 on the year when he played. The Niners are 8-2 when he played. But since he came back from the turf toe, because if you said, what's the big surprise of the year? This, how well Brock Purdy came back from the turf toe. Since he came back from the turf toe, that was week 11, his completion percentage is second best in the NFL. His total touchdowns are third. His passer rating's third. The Niners have won 7 of 8. They're averaging over 30 points a game. Third down's the ultimate quarterback down. The Niners, since week 11, lead the NFL on third down conversion rate, converting 55% offensively. And then the bottom line is you win in the NFL when you score touchdowns and not field goals, kick field goals in the red zone. The Niners, under Purdy since week 11, their offense leads the NFL with a 71% red zone touchdown percentage. He is not a perfect quarterback. Heck, we saw that last week when he threw the picks to Quinyon Mitchell when he had JJ open. And he's not perfect, but
guess what? No one is. There is no perfect. That never existed. It never has existed. I know that every single Steve Young and Joe Montana fan have completely forgotten every interception, every incompletion that either one of those guys ever threw. There is no perfect at this position. It's, can you put the bad play behind you instantly and stay on mission? And I think Purdy is outstanding at that.
He's not perfect, but he's plenty good, and he's very, very competitive. And I expect him to fire a huge effort in this game, and I think that's going to be the difference. We got off and running on the show. We never mentioned the sponsors. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle. Check them out. Emeryville, Corte Madera, soon opening in 2026 in Petaluma. Open 7 days a week. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. Get some brisket. Get some brisket chili. Thanks to Claw Daddy Arcades, who sent us to Philadelphia. A great follow on Instagram, @claw_daddy_arcades, to find a location near you. Damon and I, of course, are both brought to you by Sleeper. 49er football season presented by Sleeper. It's a one-stop shop. You love these guys. On my end, use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. And thanks to all of you guys for being here on a Friday for another edition of Wake Up. If you guys could all hit right now, if we could take a second and just hit like and subscribe. If you hit like, more people find the stream in the overall algorithm, and it really helps out. If you hit subscribe to Damon and I on both channels, either time or anytime either of us go live, you'll just get a little alert, ta-ding, that they're starting, and then you can jump in. You don't have to miss a minute. So anyway, thanks to everybody for being here, and go Niners.
Want to thank again, like you said, Larry, we're both brought to you by Sleeper. Thanks for them being here all year. Hopefully I can hit I'm going to restrict my three-leg parlay. I'm not going to try to go a dog with four legs this week. I'm going to try to do a three-leg parlay, and I'm going to win it this week. I just feel good about it. Let me tell you, you're going to feel good if you want to get a mess of sandwiches from Ike's right now. If you have a catering order, and if you're having a big party, a little Ike's catering, again, forget about the pizza, forget about the wings, have some Ike's and everyone will be very, very happy. Your catering order of $250 or more, Ike is going to give you $49 off of that when you use code SAVE49. So you save a whole bunch on Ike's catering when you do that. And thanks again, as always, to our friends Kenny and John at the Dubliner. A great place to go and watch the game, a great place to watch your Warriors and your Sharks hockey and all the fun stuff. It'll be a great place to watch the Dodgers win a third straight World Series. Holy shit, dude. Kyle Tucker. That's another show, Larry. We'll worry about that.
Wait a second on that one. You know, I saw Murph just tweeted out, you know, hey, Giants fans, I know you're mad that the Giants didn't sign Kyle Tucker, but you'd be mad if they paid him $60 million. No, we wouldn't.
No.
Why would I be mad if they pay? It cost an arm and a leg to go to see the Giants play.
Yeah, it's a $17 beer. Give me someone who can hit.
They're boring as shit. It's the most boring team of all time. They have no offense. They're constantly in these 3-2 games. Everything's like nip and tuck. They never score any runs. Mix in a double or a home run every fucking once in a while. The Giants are a bore. People are like, oh, how come you don't talk Giants on your channel? Because I like money.
Right. We want people to watch these.
Yeah, we want people to watch. And my sponsors would all leave me if all of a sudden I start talking Giants baseball and 2,000 people turned into 15 people in a six pack. I mean, what the heck? The Giants are boring as hell. They're rich as hell. They bought their franchise in 1992 for $100 million. It's worth $5
billion. Instead of counting their profit,
they'd rather watch the Dodgers go buy them. Here's one word for the Giants. I got one word. Here, I'll do a – I'm going to be a consultant. I'm going to come in. I'm going to look at everything you got. And I'm going to give you some advice. Fucking compete.
How about
compete.
This?
Compete. How about that? Compete.
You should add more than the Curran Theater or whatever theater they just bought, the Golden Gate Theater, whatever. The Giants' biggest offseason acquisition was a theater in downtown San Francisco. That's got to change. Anyways.
In the middle of a crack-infested neighborhood.
It is a beautiful theater. I will say that. It is a beautiful theater. I've been in there. I've been to shows in there.
People urinating on it as we speak.
And so, you know.
I mean, that's the truth. There's a guy taking a deuce in front of it right now. We go live. Wait a second. We go live to the current theater where a guy right now is dropping a deuce on the sidewalk. Even his dog is running away from him.
Oy, oy, oy! All right.
It's just bad, though. I mean, okay. The Giants focus on competing with the Dodgers. God, it's so sad. They're so bent over with this, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to come up with a creative new way. Just compete. You're rich as hell.
Remember, we have an audience. Let's not chase them away. Let's not chase them away. There will be time for this. The summer's coming. We will have plenty of days to do that show.
I'm going to be the Giants PR guy or ad slogan guy. Giants baseball 2026. What the fuck? What do you think?
It's a great time out. look, Larry.
WTF. It would be a huge campaign.
Let me just ask you this to get back to what we're here to talk about today. If I sold you the exact same game that Jackson Smith and Jigba had in week 18, would you get it? He was a chain mover all night, but I think I would buy this. He had 6 catches for 84 yards. That feels very survivable out of him. He is so good.
Do that again. See how many targets in that game. How many targets were in that game?
I got the box right here, Larry.
8. So he had 8 targets. Yeah, so they only forced 2 incompletions all night against JSN, and he's their far and away their number one receiver. It's like, come on, this is the one advantage that you have against Seattle is that it's a one receiver team. Cooper Kupp is old at this point. Rashid Shaheed is a special teamer who's really just a trick play guy, comes in every now and then. This is the JSN show completely. So it's not like, well, we don't know where they're going. You know exactly where they're going. So you should be able to keep a couple guys on all 3 levels of your defense between Sam Darnold and JSN, because you know he's going to him, and you know he's going to him on passing downs, and you know he's going to him on key third downs. It's like playing defense like you know that the ball's going to JSN, because it is.
One of the things that I was talking about this week is just looking for wrinkles, something that you're going to do different this week than in that week 18 disaster. I think we're going to see Kyle Juszczyk lining up at tight end in this game. I think we're going to see Kyle Juszczyk be a preferred tight end target over Tongas, over Farrell. And I also think that we might get Austin Pleasance lining up at tight end, not going out in a pattern, but just being an extra blocker along this offensive line. I don't think that that's the worst idea I've ever had, just thinking off the top of my head. What could the Niners do to just slow down? Again, a defensive line that is officially coming. The Seattle Seahawks, in every conceivable way, their rush defense is top 5 in every significant category. EPA, success rate, DVOA, run type, they are good in across the board. You got to do something different.
I did look through at these numbers. There is one angle on their offensive line. There's one thing that the Seattle run game is not good at. It took a lot though, Damon. I mean, it took a lot to find this. Okay. So I was asking the question, does Seattle have any weaknesses on defense? I was looking through every one of their numbers across the board. Their run defense is, as you said, top 5 in EPA per play, success rate, DVOA, But not quite all of it. Against teams that use pre-snap motion, and nobody uses more than the 49ers, Seattle ranks 17th in the NFL in yards per carry and 22nd in the NFL in success rate. So this is a Christian McCaffrey day. I mean, not that it wouldn't be anyway.
But right.
They've got to use – the Niners come in with their pre-snap motion, and they get their matchups, and they get their ISOs, and they can discern what kind of coverage it is. And Shanahan's got to somehow dial up some creative run plays using motion, and also I think a short passing game, but one that creates a little diversion because there's so much speed. When a team has this much speed, you have to kind of use it against them. You have to get you got to get them flowing this way because they flow so fast that you got to fool them. You got to get them flowing this way. Oh, and we're coming back that way. So, as I said, I think play design is going to be huge. I think a lot of east-west movement and you know, a lot of eye candy before the snap to try to pause their rush. You know, Kyle's going to have to be, as they say, in his bag. But he's you know, I think he understands the situation. It's time to let it all hang out.
Let me ask you this, because you were down in Santa Clara this week, and I don't think I've ever seen a happier, bouncier Kyle Shanahan than in that Eagles locker room. It looked like that had shaved 3 years off of his aging. He's aged like a president. You go back and you look at his hired by the Niners press conference. That's a young man compared to the, you know, Father Time that he's turned into now. And this is a guy who's younger than me, and he looks a little older than me at times. He looks just spent, but he looks so reinvigorated. Has that followed into this week? Do you feel that Shanahan is looser this week than in previous weeks?
You know, that's a great question, actually. Do I think he's looser?
I mean,
he seems like Shanahan
being loose, not loosey-goosey like you and I, but like Shanahan is a ball of focus and just, I mean, you can feel the tension when he takes the podium. How was it this week?
He seems like a guy who's very comfortable with where his team is at, you know, and he knows he's got a gritty team. This is not the best team. The best teams, by the way, in the NFC are the Rams and the Seahawks. But I'm picking the Bears and the Niners because I really think that it comes down to a little bit of magic. And you don't just do it just because you got the best players. You got to have a little bit of the magic. And I think the Bears and the Niners have that. I think Seattle's better. I think the Rams are better. But I think the Bears and the Niners are going to win. Because I think their quarterbacks are resourceful. They're making plays. And there's a little magic carpet ride to this Niner team. I mean, I feel it. I've heard other people reference it. I don't know if it's true or not. I guess we'll find out. Usually, Damon, I side with defensive speed because that's cutting edge, right? That's what John Lynch's Bucks had. That's what the 2000 Ravens had. That's what all the best defenses have, this incredible speed. And Seattle has that. So but I also really love the great young quarterback and the great, great head coach. And I think they're kind of the neutralizers. And the Niners have both. So I know this is going to sound crazy, but I think if you said to me, is Kyle going to win a Super Bowl in his career? I would say, yeah. If you said, is Brock going to win a Super Bowl in his career? I'd say, yeah. Well, both guys, super prime. Is right now the Kyle coaching super prime just happened to arrive as the Brock Purdy super prime of being a quarterback. A quarterback super prime is after you learn the offense and your body isn't broken up and you're still in your 20s. That's Brock. A head coach's super prime is after you've been to the playoffs, you've had some failures, and you're not old, and that's Kyle. And it's just like I kind of feel like Kyle's prime and Brock's prime are in that intersection while the roster is just kind of but it's gritty and I think there's magic. I like the Niners to make a run here.
Here's something you probably didn't consider. I get to give 49ers red zone credit here. Larry, have you thought of the Orlando Magic? the Orlando Magic could be a factor in this game. No, but look, you're right. There's some stardust that needs to be sprinkled on this game, because if we're just going in there pound for pound, the 49ers are going to get outpunched. They're going to have to do a little something different. And I'll tell you, I'll take your word magic and I'll just sort of twist it into I need a difference. I think the difference in this game is Eric Kendricks and Garrett Wallow, who we weren't focused on, weren't giving any credo to in week 18. Now these guys are standing in the middle of a defense that just magically won in Philadelphia. Marquis Siegel, I just think that's a difference. He is going to be harder to prepare for. His tendencies are going to be harder to find for the Seahawks because he played one defensive snap from week 12 to the end of the regular season until he got thrown into that Eagles game, and he played very well. You know who has grown up right in front of us? He's been one of my favorite Niners to watch all year is Upton Stout.
Oh, awesome.
He's been fantastic, Larry. He really has. And speaking about growing up, Alfred Collins and CJ West have been getting baptized by NFL reality all year long, and it looks like they are finally starting their careers as difference makers. They're not showing up in the box score, but these guys are hard to move in the middle. Seattle's offensive line in week 18 had a field day against them. I think they're better, even though that game was just 2 weeks ago. A playoff win recalibrates, I think, what a player thinks of himself, his teammates, his situation. The 49ers are human, man. They have to have had moment after moment after moment of, man, my dauber is down, because it just looks like the brakes have been beaten off of us once again. And now we've lost our freaking first ballot Hall of Fame tight end, who is also our spokesperson, who is also our cheerleader, who is also our masked Avenger WWE style. And that wasn't enough to get their dauber down. I just think the 49ers got to be feeling like they got a lot of house money going into this game. And look, a lot of the stats that we see point towards Seattle winning handedly. But a lot of the historical numbers, like you said, coming into this game, Shanahan, Purdy having never lost up in Seattle. Like, it feels like that's got to matter a little bit. And you certainly hope it does. Here's another thing about Purdy. This guy's 5-1 now. In postseason games, he starts and finishes.
Wow.
Like, don't tell me this guy isn't a big game, big money quarterback. He's 5-1 in the postseason. That is more career postseason wins than Lamar Jackson, as many as Jared Goff, as many as old man Philip Rivers had, as many as Joe Burrow. We're talking number one overall picks in the fucking NFL draft, and he's got as many or more wins than them. And for the team that can't play come from behind football, in his 5-1 postseason record, he's got 4 game-winning drives. And he would have had 5 had Nick Bosa tackled Patrick Mahomes in Vegas on fourth down.
Well, I mean, think about it for a second, too. He's got he's 5-2 in the playoffs. The first game that he lost, he got the elbow ripped out. He was right.
I'm not counting that one here. Right. He's 5-1 in games he starts and finishes.
Right, but I mean, though he's 5-2 overall. So that's the loss. He only played 6 plays. Okay. And then the other loss, he walks off the field multiple times with the lead in the Super Bowl against Mahomes, only to have his defense not be able to stand up and finish the deal. I mean, Brock Purdy is a great competitor. You might go as far to say as he's, I don't want to say unbeatable in the playoffs, but he's going to fire. I mean, like, if your hope from Seattle's side is that Brock Purdy's going to whiz down his leg, you better have a new hope.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not saying he's going to be perfect, but yeah, I don't think if the Niners come out of this with a loss, I don't think it would be because Brock sucked today. It's going to be because the defense just couldn't get off the field on third down. All of a sudden, you know, Kenneth Walker III had 120 yards rushing against you, and Charbonnet wasn't bad either. You know, I mean, it's going to be one of those Jackson Smith and Jigba 10 catch, 150 yard, 2 touchdown type of games. It's going to be Seattle firing. I don't think it's going to be because Brock didn't fire. And another thing, you just want a little history here, Larry. I know you got a plane to catch. We wanted to keep this into about an hour. We're going to have like 15 minutes to get through some supers here. the 49ers can be the first team in NFL history to advance to the conference championship game 20 times in franchise history. If they win this game, they'll be in the NFC title game for the 20th time in franchise history. And oh, by the way, they are 7-0 in seven straight divisional round games.
How about that?
And that goes back to Harbaugh.
They expect to win in the divisional round. Why wouldn't they at this point?
Look at it this way. If you don't believe that you can do it, why would we? So they've got to have a belief. And there's something that we haven't even mentioned yet. This is the rare division game in a divisional round. And what do we keep on saying about divisional games? They get weird. They always get weird. This is a real rivalry. This is real dislike between football teams. And a lot of time that is, you know, simulated for network attention. There's no simulation of how much these teams actually dislike each other. It seems to be real. And it feels like it's coming almost more from the Seattle side, which to me means they might be a little worried. You know, they're a big boy football team, man. They're for real. The Seahawks are really good. If the Niners lose this game, they will have lost to a very good Seahawks team with the number one scoring defense in football. Larry, bare minimum. And it's going to be hard to do. I think the Niners have to put up 21 points in this game. They have to. They have to score three touchdowns minimum to win this game. Agree or disagree?
How many? 21.
21. I think it's got to be a three touchdown day.
I have 24-14. But you know, here's the thing. It's like Seattle is the better horse, right? They're the better horse. They're faster, they're better. They're healthier, you know, they're better. They're working out better. Like if this were a horse race, they're better. But the Niners have the better trainer and the better jockey. And then what they're also going to need is better racing luck, because sometimes the better horse gets left in the gate. Sometimes the better horse gets pinched on the rail. Sometimes the better horse gets caught wide on the turn. They're going to have good racing luck the same way they had good racing luck in Philly. They're going to have to score first and get to breathe, because you got to breathe against these suffocating defenses. And you can't breathe if you're always behind. So you got to have the lead. So I think the Niners have got to hit them first. They got to hit them first. They got to score. They got to get a key turnover in this game. At some point, they're going to have to steal a possession. And then they're going to have to stop the run. You know, if they stop the run and make this a referendum on Sam Darnold, I love the Niners' chances. I really do. I feel really good about this one. I like the Niners 24-14, and I think Seattle is going to, you know, 14 points. They've scored 13 twice. Now they're going to get 14. And the Niners have held, you know, pretty strong. I mean, they got gashed in this last game against the run. They have to be better, but the personnel's better. I expect them to be better against the run in this game than they were in Week 18. I get a feeling that Shanahan feels like – I think Shanahan is gonna have some wrinkles here that he hadn't had before.
More good news, Larry. The 49ers aren't going to be wearing those stupid black uniforms.
Ugh.
That's good news. That feels like it's got to go into the equation of how you handicap this game a little bit.
Some people don't like the white and the gold, but I'll say this, get used to it. Because if the Niners go and win the Super Bowl, they're wearing the white and gold the entire time. They're wearing them this week. They'll wear them next week. They'll wear them in the Super Bowl against whoever they play, unless somehow the team that they're playing in the Super Bowl decides they'd rather wear white, because the NFC is the road team. So the home team gets to choose what color. So I think
there's only one scenario where that would happen.
What's that?
Playing the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans are not taking their white uniforms off, apparently.
Okay.
I've seen a story that's saying they're not going to take their unis off.
Okay, so that would be the one opportunity to wear the red again. Otherwise, it's the white and the gold. And I'm okay with it. I think it's a clean look. I like the Niners uniforms, home and road.
Like that uniform. I mean, white on white is even doper, I think. It looks so clean. But the white and gold pants is just, that's...
The white on white is premier.
Yeah.
It looks clean. you know, whatever. I, you know,
by the way, it was the Philadelphia cheesefake. That was what it was called. It wasn't the cheese mistake. Every great postseason trick play needs to be named and titled, and some KNBR chatter called it the Philadelphia cheesefake. That's when I get angry at myself for not coming up with that. That's fantastic.
That is good. That is good. Should we hit some supers?
Let's do it, brother. I know you got a plane to catch.
Let's do it. We got 12 today. Fuji in the house. Thank you for the 49er coverage. Need good news and hopefully a win tomorrow night to help with the distressing baseball news, i.e. Dodgers and Kyle Tucker.
We've already covered that.
What's left? What's next? Jonathan Kuminga talk. Joseph Ernberg, 23-13, Niners. Seattle will play down to us and regret it.
Look at Joseph Ernberg. He has seen the light. He has found the hope. This is so unlike you, Joseph. Welcome. Welcome to a little belief in the team you claim to be a fan of. Congratulations.
Ernberg picked Seattle last night. He's had an about face. Fuji says, I'm surprised about the electric substation story gained traction. Is this a PR nightmare or headache for the team communications department? It actually is a nightmare because this is a league that players can decide where they want to play. And if the players really start to believe that the Niners facility is going to get them hurt, then they're not going to sign here. So, yes, it's a big deal.
Look, perception becomes reality. So, we're living through a world where a lie becomes truth quickly. So whether there is truth to it or not, there's something there. And I'll say, there's a lot of people who have said, well, wait a minute, the 49ers have been practicing in Santa Clara for almost 30 years. And this injury rash, let me tell you, they upgrade substations. It's not like that's the same substation, the same electrical station that was there 30 years ago. It is different, I'm sure, more powerful now than it was then. And I'm not trying to stack on conspiracy theories here, but, look, no one has beat the drum louder of I don't like them playing in Santa Clara than me. And this would just be another, a layer on the cake of why I don't like that place.
I know, but think about it. It doesn't really matter. Everybody made a big deal about it like it was like some huge sacrilege. The Bears are going to play in Indiana. They're not even going to play in the state of Illinois.
No, they're not. No, that's not going to happen.
Yes, it is. I just read last night, actually, that there's been several steps to make that a reality and that it very well could happen. So
I'll say this, that
football stadiums, the Giants and Jets don't play in the same state.
The Indianapolis Colts haven't even sent lawyers after that yet. I'm telling you, that the chances of that actually happening have to be a single digit percentage. I'm not saying it won't grow. I'm not saying it's an impossibility, but I got a big scoop of doubt that I'm serving to that story.
Well, I'm rooting against it, but either way, that's what they're saying. SF Indigo, two years, dudes. I love the show. Go Niners.
Thank you. He's been a member of the Plouse family for 2 years. SF Indigo was at the original Plouse Mania at Victory Hall many, many years ago. Thank you, brother.
Too much sauce. Is there somewhat of a mini rivalry between Fred and Kendricks? Eric acknowledged not signing initially because of playing Mike was Fred's territory. Well, yeah, I don't think that, you want to sign necessarily to sit behind a Hall of Famer. I think Eric just wanted to go somewhere where he could play, and he wasn't going to play as long as Fred was healthy.
Call it rivalry. I would call it professional respect. That's what I would call that.
Right. You just don't come and park your car when you're Eric Kendricks in another man's parking spot. Fuji Simeon, with Tucker joining the Dodgers, they are now Sauron with the ring of power in MLB, LOL. Larry, way to start the day with current theater and public defecation. Thank you.
Not to harp on this at all, but I would like to congratulate the Los Angeles Dodgers for certainly ushering in the next work stoppage. There will be 8 owners, and I'm telling you, the markets are going to be Miami, Cincinnati, Colorado. Now we just need 5 more owners to say it is time to shut this league down, and they will be shutting this. Major League Baseball will go on a work stoppage, and they're about to have the single biggest labor fight we've seen in our sports lives, Larry, because Major League Baseball is going to want a salary cap, And Major League Baseball players are not going to want that. So
go. The bottom line is they're baseball is trying to offset the spending with internal rules. So, for example, Dodgers just signed Tucker. They're going to lose four of their top six amateur draft picks in the June draft, but they don't care. They don't
Why would they care?
Well, I mean, obviously it's not enough, right? Obviously losing four out of six picks isn't enough. Maybe they got to lose all six. I mean, eventually the amateur draft is the, you know, the bloodline to the sport, and you should always care about getting picks, but they're like, hey, we're hoping to draft Kyle Tucker. Why don't we just sign him now, take away all the risk? And also the Dodgers are so invested in Japan right now that, you know, it's like they're on a different plateau financially than everybody else, and it shows. And you know, it's like in if this were, you know, on one hand, it's terrible because it's a sport and you have to play games. But if this were just like a business, you'd say this is great business. Hey, I know a buddy, and he's got a very successful company, and he makes lots and lots of money. And guess what he does with the revenue that he makes on his company? He reinvests it in the product, and he grows his company. Oh, my God, what do you think of him? It sounds like a pretty good businessman, you know? That's what it sounds like to me. Bill Kennedy says Niners need to build a tinfoil fence at the facility. Okay. Steve says Kyle is reverse aging because he's finally playing with house money. At this point, no matter what, he's outperformed for the season.
Well, that's what I really think. You know, we talked about this on Monday, and I agree with you. I thought about it. I think I disagreed with you in the time, but then I thought about it a little bit after the show. To really have a good season, when you are the San Francisco 49ers and you have standards that are above other franchises' standards, even under the circumstances of, holy shit, how'd you get here? The entire team's been hurt. They needed to win a wild card game. They have. So it has officially been, without any, you know, rigmarole from the peanut gallery in the comments, it has been a good year of 49ers football. A win this week makes it an amazing year of 49er football. A win the following week would make this a great year of 49er football. And then you win the next week, you are Super Bowl champions, which is the definition of sports happiness. So
historic. Historic.
You start using the word historic because they would maybe qualify for the single most, how the hell did you do this story we've seen coming out of a Super Bowl in a very long time. They're not supposed to be here, much less in that game.
Down year for the NFL. Anything can happen, and who knows? We'll see. Fuji says 49ers need to build a Chernobyl-style dome over the substation at this rate if agents and free agents take the conspiracy theory seriously, and if this hampers free agent signings. Yeah, you're gonna have to do an independent study that says that there's nothing wrong.
Chernobyl, that bad boy. Chernobyl it. No, by the way, whenever you're using the word Chernobyl, you know it's just not a good situation.
Yeah, as a rule. Fuji Simeon, will there be a game live stream tomorrow night? An in-game live stream.
I am, of course, doing a live stream, and beyond that, I'm gonna be hopping on and doing post-game with Kruger and company for the first time all year, because I can't be around for a wake up on Monday or on Sunday, because I'm going to Miami for the national championship game.
Look
so
at that.
Oh, man.
My Coloco, David Bottle poll when Upton picks Darnold.
It's right here. We're ready to go. Correct.
There you go. Fuji, Bruce Mahoney game tonight. Hope SI Kittens lose. Oh, come on. Come on. SH, your phony. We got the Bruce Mahoney. Baby Radiance. Darnold is going to Darnold. I love that. That's a good one. We got this one from Stefan. Hate the Hawks. Even the Space Needle sucks.
I've never been to Seattle, Larry. I've never been to the city of Seattle. Have you ever been up there before?
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. I'm excited to go. I'm excited. Supposedly it's going to be good weather, and I'm flying today at noon, and we'll be up there and hanging out for a couple of days. I'm looking forward to it. Ernberg says, hit that gingerbread quarterback's oblique hard. Go Dodgers.
Seriously. Somebody put their shoulder pad into Sam Darnold's flank. See what happens.
Dude, what is going to be the story if Sam Darnold warms up and says, I can't go?
Oh, he's 100% going. Sam, look at it this way. Sam Darnold might not be the best quarterback in the world, but that guy's a fighter, dude. I got respect for Sam Darnold. I really do. He is.
What if he taps out in the middle of the game?
Well, advantage Niners.
Yeah. Fuji, glad you're feeling better, Larry. Boo, SI kittens. Still a little stuffed up, but I did go see the doctor. Taking some medicine. I'll be fine. We got this
Larry's
one.
Larry's playing hurt.
Steve Shalick, or Steve Halleck, has become a YouTube member. Hey, hey, way to go. We got this one from Owens, or Owen Kane. Go Canes. Go Canes.
Hey, you know, I understand. Everyone's allowed to root for who they want to root for, but you're on the wrong side of history, brother. Here it comes.
Yeah, I like Indiana, and I'll give the points. Dunn says, Larry, the Seahawks have taken your bag. You will need the 49ers to win to get it back. Fill that as fuel in the locker room for the Niners. Yeah, I had my bag picked in the Philly airport, if you can believe it.
What? What happened?
I had a bag stolen from me in the Philly airport, my luggage.
No.
Yes. I had a bag with my computer, and I had my luggage. I put my luggage down. I looked down. I'm like, Kev, where's my bag? He's like, I don't know. Gone.
Did you call Art Spander? You call Art Spander? Art Spander's picked up Kyle Shanahan's bag at Super Bowl.
Yes, seriously.
So you lost? You got a new laptop, or did you have?
No, I have all that. I just lost some jeans, some shirts, some underwear, some toiletries.
Not that you ever want to have anything stolen, but the choice between one of those two bags going missing, the right bag went missing. That's good.
Yeah, no question. Steve said, "Do people drink at the college football playoff games?" Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Damon did at the Peach Bowl.
Yeah. Fuji, lots of homeless and public defecation in Seattle. Look forward to it. Look forward to getting up there. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Damon. Thanks to all of you. Go Niners. I've got Niners Nightly tonight at 6:00. Check it out. Damon, good to talk to you.
Great to see you, Larry. Bon voyage. I'll see you for the post game tomorrow night, and hopefully it's a victorious post game. Wouldn't that be something else? I mean, we just saw what I think was Shanahan's greatest victory. This would be even bigger than that.
Peace.